It will be impossible for us to take a fresh look at love without going back to the greatest description of love ever penned. The list of qualities that make up love have appeared in many of the modern psychological books, but they originally appeared in the Bible. If we look at the qualities which are a part of a life of love and marriage and family and all of the intimate relationships that are a part of that bond, we come to find the basis for these in that passage of Scripture that we heard read from 1 Corinthians 13, primarily verses 4 through 8. I'd like for you to hear those verses again, but I would like to read them from the translation by George Swan, because in one or two areas I believe it is more helpful to read this translation than some of the others. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not puffed up. It is not unnatural. It seeks not things of itself. It is not irritable. It does not count up evil. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now, we cannot refer to these basic qualities of love as they are described for us by Paul as an adequate definition of love. They are descriptive, they are inclusive, and they are helpful. But the only real definition of love that we can find in Scripture is to be found in Christ's death on the cross. Gary Ingrid, in writing in his book, Quality Friendship, states it thus: love is the action which is consistent with the will and character of God, and which, motivated by the character of the lover and the need of the loved, acts without regard to personal cost for the benefit of another. It is only at the cross that we can see such love. And any definition of love apart from Calvary will be inadequate. These are penetrating words, because it helps us to realize that the true definition of love is to find its origin in God, in God's gracious act in behalf of us all. Henry further reminds us that love is not described by God in adjectives, but in verbs. It is an active relationship, not passive. Always moving, always acting, always dynamic. And so as we look at this passage related to the description of love, we come to see that this kind of love causes us to stop demanding in order that we might have our own way, and it also causes us to drop all of the conditions which we'll put upon our willingness to love. And we will put the desires and the needs of the one who is the object of our love before our own desires and our own needs, and yes, our own passions. How do you respond when someone makes a thoughtless comment? Do you ever feel like, well, you've been abused enough that you really don't have to take that? That you want to make some answer, some retort, that you want to respond in some way? It's your turn to give it out for a while and not to continue to receive it. Well, most of us, by our human nature, are constructed this way. We really do not like to feel that we are abused or used or manipulated. But when we begin to look at the concept of love as it comes to us from the Bible, we need to see that it is somewhat different than this. If you would take this passage from 1 Corinthians, and instead of the word love, put the word God, you will come to see what it is like. God suffers long and is kind. God does not envy. God is not boastful, and so on and so on. Take your Bible and try reading it that way, and you will see a perfect description of the nature of God in our midst. Now take a pencil and paper and write out this passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians 13, and instead of the word love, or instead of the word God, write your own name. Bob suffers long and is kind. Bob does not envy. Bob is not boastful. And go on and on with that, and it will come to give you a fresh look at love. Because you will immediately begin to see the biblical concept of love as it comes to be a part of life. In our present culture, based upon so much romanticism and upon many misconcepts concerning love, we have come to understand that there are some different kinds of love. And because we have created these kinds of love, we need to give answer to them as we take a fresh look at love. The first type of love, and the only kind that many people have ever known, might be described as love if. You and I give love only when certain requirements are met. Our motivation in the love-if concept is basically selfish. It's basically motivated by what the love can mean to us, not what we can mean to another. The love-if concept may be the concept in which a parent says to a child, "Well, if you're good, I will do this for you." If you really are a good child, Daddy will love you. Or it might come into the concept, if you meet my expectations as a lover, then I can love you. Or it might come into the concept that if you're clean and neat and you come to me out of your need, I may help you. But if you're on the street and you're dirty, and you're homeless, I may not be able to touch you. Or the love-if concept may have its origin in the fact that if you will go to bed with me, I will love you. And much of our concept of love today is based upon such very weak and very limited ideas of the nature. Many marriages have broken up because the type of love that they have known is a selfish love. It is a love that's eye-centered. It is a love that has no giving to it. The husband or wife turn out to be in love with some imaginary, romanticized image. And they really only are in love if. And if the if turns out all right, the marriage succeeds, and if it doesn't, the marriage fails. The second type of love that often enters into the idea of our times is the love because of. The person is loved because of something he is or something she does, or something about that person that makes them earn our love. This love is produced by a quality or a condition in that person's life that makes us want to love them. Love because of often takes this form. I love you because you are so pretty. I love you because you are so macho. I love you because you have so much money. I love you because you give me security. I love you because you're so popular. You see, in reality, we love that person because of what that person is or has or does. And really, we love that person because we're feeling good in the process of being associated with such a person that has such a relationship to our life. Well, this sounds pretty good, doesn't it? We all want to be loved because of certain qualities that are in our lives. Having someone love us because we have these qualities may be a boost to our own ego, and it may help us to feel good about ourselves. And there is something about all of us, I'm sure, which is lovable. But this type of love can be no more certain than the love if concept, and it can be a very shaky foundation for a marriage if we only love because of certain characteristics or qualities that we find in the life of the one we love. For example, consider the problem of competition. In a love because of relationship, what happens when someone comes along who is prettier? What happens when someone comes along that can provide greater security? What happens when someone comes along who is more macho? What happens? Will the competition put you on edge? Will the competition threaten your love? Will it win out because? You see, these are erroneous concepts of love. Most of us really live with some of these concepts, whether we admit it or not. And we need to come to the grips with the fact that we cannot live in a satisfying love and marriage relationship simply on these bases. And so we need to probe further and discover another kind of love. And this is the love without conditions, or the conditionless love. This love says, I love you, in spite of what you are. I love you in spite of what you are deep down inside. I love you no matter what I would like to change about you. I love you, period. Well, this probably is the basis, whether we realize it or not, that most happy and successful marriages are built upon. Make no mistake, this isn't a blind love. We can know fully the other person's shortcomings, the other person's faults, the other person's failures. And yet we can totally accept that person without expecting anything in return if we truly love. You really cannot earn this type of love. You can't turn it off, you can't turn it on, because it has no strings attached to it. It's different than this because of love, because it isn't based on some attractive quality in the person being loved. It is based upon the fact that you love that person because that person is a part of you and a part of your life. This is the basic difference between the love if and the love because of on the one hand and the I love you period on the other. Love is simply willing to give. On the other hand, lust can never wait to get. And there is a great gulf established between the love which gives and the lusting relationship which always seeks to want to receive. The reason that we might call this love conditionless rather than unconditional is that each one of us is restrained by our very own human nature. And we have to work at this type of love, because it doesn't come easy to love in this way. It is not an unconditional love, it's a love without condition, or a conditionless love. We still see some of the faults, we still see some of the failures, we still note some of the evils, but we still love. And whether you realize it or not, this type of love is very important to you. And if you're not presently experiencing this kind of love, it is probably because you have not learned that love is spelled G-I-V-E. And in this type of relationship, there's no room for jealousy. There's no room for envy. There's no room for pressure. There's no possibility for frustration. And there's absolutely no basis for fear. For such perfect love casts out all fear. Now, at this point, you're probably wondering whether this is even a practical type of love. Well, it's a difficult type. It was difficult enough that it caused our Heavenly Father to watch His own Son hang on a cross and die. It is a difficult type of love because it demands of us constantly. You say, well, if there are faults in my marriage partner, and if I see faults in another person and I don't do anything to correct those faults, then that person continues to live with those faults forever and ever. Wrong. Because the nature of your love for that person will make that person want to change. And it will not be because you demand that the person change, it will be because the person, knowing the response to your love, will want to be the type of person that you desire that person to be. This third attitude toward love is really a creative thing, because it causes changes in the person that receives this type of love. During our nearly 34 years of marriage, Bonnie has pointed out many things in my life which, if they were changed, would enable me to be a much better person. And if she had ever said to me, you must do this, I would have rebelled, I would have been angry, and I think that would have been your experience as well. But the nature of a loving relationship is that she has enabled me, in my judgment, to be a better person, a better husband, a better father, a better representative of Christ, and a better friend of persons, because of what she has done for me in the constant love that she has shown. And that is probably your own experience in your own happy marriage. It is amazing, because within me there has been a desire to change. Not because I have to, but because I desire to. And only this type of love can create these amazing changes. It is really the type of love that we find only in the New Testament. The Greek word for it is agape. It's a beautiful word. But it is such love that the human heart longs for like nothing else. And if we really came to grips with it, we would come to see that it's this type of love that most of us yearn for like nothing we have ever known in our lives. Children seek this kind of love when they're rebellious or delinquent. It is this kind of love that most people really are reaching out for when they are striking back. It is this kind of love that most people want when they get involved in a passion experience. But they've never known this type of love, and they've never experienced it. And so they really do not know that this creative love can be so transforming. It is the love which Paul describes as the love which bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And it is amazing what can happen in a family when even one person in that family can make a determined effort to live out such love, to see life from the point of view of the others, to see life from the point of view of the child, or the husband, or the wife, or the grandparents, and to try to understand why they are as they are, and why they respond as they do. And you soon come to see that you're giving, reaching out, in order that the other person may know the nature of love. This kind of love is not natural. It is not automatic. It is the love that God has revealed to us in Christ, and we must work at it. It is the kind of love that involves a depth of spirit of faith and a type of love that's demanding upon our very nature to be forgiving and understanding and compassionate and caring. It is for this reason that we need a lot of help in loving. And so we need the church, and we need God's presence with us, and we need prayer, and we need all that will enable us to work at this type of love more genuinely. And just as faith becomes the theology of love, so love becomes the active expression of our faith. And we live out each day in such a faith in God, in such a faith in others, and in such a faith in all of the relationships of life that we're daily creating. And families who know these interrelationships, and families who are blessed by such self-giving love, are those families that come to know what it means to be a part of God's kingdom, and who come to experience His will on earth, even as it is done in heaven. Maybe it's time that we all take a fresh look at love. Let us pray. O God of love, You have loved us with such unselfish love through the cross that we can only find a shadow of the substance of love as we endeavor to be like You. But create in us this willingness, O God, that our homes, our marriages, our lives with one another can be strengthened, and that we can move into closer and firmer family relationships because of the presence of such creative, self-giving love. In Christ's name.